The bottom half of a declining market is when you really want to accumulate rentals, because the low prices allow you to get great deals that cash flow now and can provide a lot of appreciation in the future. Welcome. I am Camilla Jeffs, a 20-year student of money. I'm an introvert who started out broke and full of fear. Fast forward to today, where I've conquered the secrets of getting my financial house in order, become a professional investor, and built a business that supports my family. And I'm going to show you exactly how I did it. We're going to talk about getting in the game as a real investor, building a business to support you, and passing on wealth strategies to the next generation. Think of this as your one-stop shop for all things money. This is the Quiet Wealth Podcast. Welcome back to the Quiet Wealth Podcast. I'm so excited you're here. I'm your host, Camilla, and this is episode 76. When is the best time to invest in real estate? Spoiler alert, it's 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. So in nearly every market, we have stocks, crypto, real estate, investors always attempt to time the market to really get the most profits. And following buy low, sell high philosophy is definitely a great philosophy to keep in mind, right? Because you try to buy when the prices are down and sell when they peak. Trouble is, you never know when they are all the way down, and you never know when they're all the way up. Like, people have trouble timing the market. With that logic, right, the best time to buy real estate would be when the market is significantly down. But the reality is that really savvy investors have learned to build wealth in every phase of a real estate market cycle. And the key here is to have like a really broad range of investing strategies and then know which ones perform best depending on the type of market that you're in. That way, you don't have to time it and you don't have to figure out, oh, is this the bottom? Are we at the bottom now? Should I buy now or wait, right? I mean, I get timing does matter, right? And when you purchase a property, like as with most things related to personal finance, it depends on your individual circumstances. Because if you're looking to purchase a property for investment purposes, then timing really can be everything. But it's easier said than done to buy low and sell high. But there are certain periods when prices tend to be particularly low. For example, right after a recession ends is often a good time to buy property because the demand is typically low and the supply is high. So remember, you have the old, remember back to economics class, when there's low demand and high supply, prices come down, right? And that can be a really great opportunity for investors. But also be aware of market conditions in your specific area. Real estate is hyper local. Just because there's a national recession, like if we go into a national recession right now, it doesn't mean that the prices in your city will necessarily drop. And this is what drives me crazy about the news circuits, because they'll report about the real estate is down, right? Well, okay, maybe the national average is down, but I can find a city anywhere that's up, right? And so these things happened, and it can even continue to rise because people move to your city in search of better job prospects. So a better thing to watch is to watch the population and job growth of a specific area. So pay close attention to the market conditions. Pay attention to them nationally, but also specifically locally, because that will help you time it. Now, it's great to buy at the bottom of a market and sell at the top, right? That's the ideal. Investors who have a ton of money ready, they can buy these discounted properties during a crash, and then they make a fortune when they sell. But you'll be really limited if that's the only investment strategy that you know. Because real estate market corrections, they don't occur every year. In fact, the average time between housing market crashes is more than a decade. That's 10 years. And if you decide to only buy investment properties at the bottom of a crash, that means you're waiting for 10 years. You've sidelined yourself for 10 years while other real estate investors are building their portfolios with houses and they're getting rental income and all this. And you're sitting over here like, they're crazy. They're going to be in trouble. But are they in trouble? Not really, because they've figured out the micro parts of investing. Because the truth is, the best time to invest in real estate is now, as long as you implement the right strategies. So don't think about the best time. Think about the strategy for what's happening in the market. So I'm going to give you some insight into how to invest in every phase of a real estate market cycle. But before we get into the specifics of it, let's understand how it typically operates as a whole, right? So in general, home prices will fluctuate in a wave, and the wave tends to move upward over time, right? For example, the value of a house at the peak of a current market will typically be higher than it was at the previous peak. Remember, real estate just grows over time and grows and grows and grows. It's hard for my parents to understand. When they bought their house, they bought a house for $30,000, and today it's worth $300,000, right? So they bought this house 50 years ago, now it's worth $300,000. It's just hard for them to fathom that it could even grow that much, because now it's worth $300,000. So in another 20 years, it's going to double again, or might even double faster than that. And it's just hard to fathom that real estate will be that expensive going forward. But that's just the reality of the economy and the market that we're in. Now, remember, real estate is much less volatile than other investment vehicles. And volatile just simply means it's not as roller coastery. Is that a real word? Roller coastery? Well, I said it, so it is. So stocks, right? For example, they're highly liquid. That means that you can sell them at any time at the push of a button, right? You can get your money in, out, you can go in and out anytime. But real estate takes a lot more time to sell. I mean, even the home buying process takes anywhere from 30 to 45 days. So if there's a hot seller's market, the time from which the property owners decide to sell and when they actually close is typically a minimum of 2 months. So there's, some movement that can happen in those 2 months. And so it just makes real estate a little more sluggish than other investments. But it also takes longer for them to drop or climb, for example. So it's not going to be spiky like the stock market. It's going to be more wavy than it is spiky. If you think about a market in any given time, it is either declining or appreciating. And we can break these cycles down into 4 distinct phases. So in a declining market, you have the top half of the declining market and then the bottom half of it. And then in an appreciating market, you also have the bottom half and the top half. So let's break these all down. So let's talk about the top half of a declining market, right? So it means this is when the market is just starting to go down, right? All good things come to an end. And in housing market trends, if you look at the housing market trends, home prices will reach like an unsustainable peak every decade or so. And then a correction ensues because the supply and demand, it inverts due to the high prices. And so you'll notice that prices of the home are starting to come down. So if we remember the 2008 housing crisis, there was a really high percentage of subprime home loans and homeowners' mortgage payments were increasing because they had adjustable rate mortgages, and it caused a massive number of foreclosures. And so that's why that market started to decline. Okay. And then purchase demand can be stifled by rising mortgage interest rates, which is what we are experiencing right now. I'm creating this in May of 2023. We have experienced the fastest increase in interest rates ever in the history of interest rates. And that has definitely curbed the demand. So rates are climbing, affordability is decreasing, so there's fewer buyers out there in the market. So how do you invest at this time? I mean, most people would look at a declining market just as it's starting to decline as a bad time to invest. So like, oh, well, you're going to lose money. You're going to lose value. Now, you could panic when a downturn occurs, but you could also look for the opportunity to accumulate rental property. But it's not a good time to purchase rental property using your traditional methods at the beginning of this downturn. Because those methods like using cash or getting a bank loan, they require a significant amount of money out of your pocket. And at the beginning of a downturn is the time when you want to keep money liquid to take advantage of future opportunities. So even if you get a loan on an investment property, you still have to put down 20% of the purchase price. And then if the value and the rent price drop, then your equity position, your cash on cash return will start to look pretty bad. But if you can buy rental properties with little to no money down, that changes the game, right? Because you could stack cash flowing properties and use hardly any of your own money. And you do this by using creative financing. Now, when I was investing in the beginning, I was so afraid of creative financing. My husband and I, we'd never even touched it because we were worried about it. We thought it was a bad idea. And I have since learned that it is an amazing thing about real estate and can be a great win-win for both you and the seller. So creative financing, it literally just means buying or controlling the house without using bank loans or cash, right? So in a lot of cases, a real estate investor could purchase a home and simply take over the loan balance and the payment of the seller, right? This is called buying the property subject to the existing financing. This is a great strategy. It helps people who get into trouble with their mortgage payments. In fact, one of my friends is really great at this strategy, and she has rescued hundreds of homeowners from foreclosure because she's come in right before it's going to foreclose and she helps them and she pays off the foreclosure notice. She takes over the payments so they can just walk away and not have to have a foreclosure on your credit. Because if you know anything about having a foreclosure on your credit, it stays there for forever. I mean, they say 7 years, but literally it's longer because I was applying for a loan for one of our commercial properties the other day. And one of the questions is, have you ever, like ever had a foreclosure? It's not in the last 7 years. They want to know, have you ever, ever, ever done it? So a foreclosure can be pretty devastating for the rest of your life. And so coming in and rescuing people from foreclosure is her specialty, and that's what she does. Another alternative is called a wraparound mortgage. And in that case, you create a new loan that sort of wraps around the existing mortgage. And if a seller does not have a loan on the property, and data shows that more than 38% of all homes nationwide are owned free and clear. So you could set up a seller take back, is what it's called. And that's when you just simply make monthly payments to the seller instead of a bank, right? So the seller says, yep, I'll sell my house to you. And you say, great, I'll buy it and I'll pay you $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month for 10 years. And they say, perfect, I would love that cash flow. And then they walk away from that. And so that's creative financing. And it works really well in a declining market because it's opportunities that aren't as apparent in the seller's market, because there's much less competition for real estate investors in a buyer's market. So when the competition gets high, then it gets hard to get creative financing offer accepted because somebody else will come in and pay cash at the same price. But when you find sellers who are motivated to sell and nobody else is wanting to buy their property, they're willing to consider creative options to receive their higher price. Okay, let's talk about the bottom half of the declining market. So the market has started declining and it's just gone down, 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 right? The top half of the declining market, there's tons of fear, anxiety, everybody's freaked out about it. And the bottom half is typically marked with depression, right? So people are just sad and upset. And so instead of holding on to the high house prices that once were there, homeowners are like, great. Now my house is not worth near what it used to be. This can be the best time to buy rental property because the prices will be extremely low. And the good part about buying during this time is that you'll likely be ahead of most of the competition because when the market turns upward, then many investors flood the market. But you want to purchase properties before that so you can buy them at low prices. And then you'll be able to capitalize on that appreciation caused by a whole bunch of buyers coming in and wanting it and driving up prices. So the thing you should have in mind at the bottom half of a declining market is when you really want to accumulate rentals, because the low prices allow you to get great deals that cash flow now and can provide a lot of appreciation in the future. You can still use creative financing. It's still a great tool to use during that market phase. And because a lot of homeowners might be underwater on their homes, meaning their mortgage balance is higher than the value of their home. So they're kind of stuck. They have no way to sell because they'd have to bring money to the closing table and they don't have money. And that's when you get into the short sales and the foreclosures, and they become just rampant. And you can come in, structure your creative financing deal. Even if the house has negative equity, still might make sense to take it on if it's going to provide good cash flow. Because remember, it's not always about equity. Cash flow is super important. And I'm a cash flow investor, and that's what I like to focus on. So if you do this, you could acquire as many rental properties as you can while using none of your own money. So use that, right? A cash offer could work better for some sellers. So don't limit yourself to only using creative financing, because sometimes making a cash offer allows you to get a much lower price. Okay, so we've talked about the declining market. So the top half and then the bottom half. And now we are entering the bottom half of an appreciating market. So if you think about that wave, right? So the wave has crested and it's come down, and now it's just going to go right back up again. So once the market begins to turn upward, then that's when homeowners start to feel hopeful and buyers start to have confidence in purchasing a home. But prices are still pretty low, right? And mortgage rates are typically pretty low. And that makes buying rental houses very lucrative. But also flipping becomes an option since prices are appreciating. So a lot of first-time home buyers will be looking to buy a newly renovated home. You know, people just don't have skills anymore. When my husband and I first started out investing, we would buy crappy houses and we'd move into them and we'd fix them up ourselves. And I have met very few people who've done that. You know, most people are like, I don't know how to use a hammer, right? We've moved away from, our society as a whole has moved away from hard labor or construction or, you know, knowledge of using our hands to more of an online services type nation, right? America is a services nation. We're not necessarily a manufacturing nation, as opposed to some other nations in the world who are manufacturing, have more manufacturing than services. America focuses on services. So once the market begins to build momentum going in the upward direction, then you can confidently buy rental properties, right? And feel like you're going to have some good appreciation. The only trouble here is that a whole bunch of other investors are thinking the same way. And because of this, you have to get really creative to stay ahead of them. So you've got to have really great marketing strategies. And, you know, the deals are easier to find in a depressed market, but it's a lot more challenging when prices are climbing. And so the best real estate investors, they've learned how to find their own deals instead of waiting for someone else to bring them to them. But in general, as the value of a home goes up, the fair market rent increases too. So the values typically climb faster than rental prices. And that's why it usually makes more sense to buy rentals near the bottom of the market instead of at the top. All right. And our fourth piece, right? The top half of an appreciating market. So this phase of the market cycle is typically when investors have the most competition, because everyone has seen the rapid increase in prices over the recent years. But remember Warren Buffett's quote, he said, "Be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful." So hopefully you've already accumulated properties at this point or in passive investments, and you don't feel the need to compete with investors who are making aggressive offers, because it's tough to find rental houses at the top of the market that offer that same cash on cash return as those that were closer to the bottom. So rent prices are generally higher at this point, but home prices are even higher percentage wise. So the rent to value ratio is significantly lower. But that doesn't mean you should pull back and not invest near the top of the market. It just means you need to adjust your strategy. So flipping houses is a great time to do that in an appreciating market. So instead of growing a rental property portfolio, you could focus on quick turn strategies like flipping sometimes people call it a cash grab market. It's a time to grab a whole bunch of cash, and you do that by flipping. And one of the perks of flipping houses in this appreciating market is that many times the value is significantly higher when the house is completed than it was projected to be at the beginning of the project. Now, there's a fear that a lot of investors have in a market with significant appreciation is that it will soon experience a correction. And it does happen, right? The house that we flipped, we got a house summer of 2022, and we started working on it. We were in the top half of an appreciating market. It was going up, it was going up, it was going up, like multiple offers, offers over and above asking price. So we felt pretty good about flipping a house. But guess what happened? It took a little bit longer than we anticipated. We finally got it on the market in November of 2022, and all buying halted, right? The correction happened right then. Our timing was off, right? And it does happen. We did end up selling that property. We did end up making a profit, but not nearly the profit that we thought we were going to get because we were in that appreciating market, right? So we bought it at the very top of that appreciating market, and then all of a sudden the hump, and it started to fall. Now, we've talked about the four different phases, right? But I want you to understand this, that you can make money investing in any real estate market, because it's true. Many people think it's a good time to invest when the market's hot. Many people are like, oh, we have to wait till the very bottom. And others are like, I just don't know when to do anything. And so I'm just going to wait and just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. But there's lots of opportunities. The key to success is just having a broad understanding of the different strategies. And then you need to know which ones to employ at different times, right? So let's review. The top half of a declining market is creative financing. The bottom half of a declining market, you have creative financing and traditional rentals. The bottom half of an appreciating market, you're looking at traditional rentals and flipping. And the top half of an appreciating market is your flipping. Now, here's another quick little tip, is that the number of properties available for sale will usually drop as winter sets in because it's traditionally a slower time of year in home selling. So a lot of homeowners take their houses off the market to avoid giving it like a stagnant or low impression. But in the months of December, January, and February, there are fewer units available for sale. And so it creates an opportunity for motivated investors to get these properties at a lower price point, right? So the buyers who keep their houses on for sale through this winter time are the ones who really need to sell it, like us, right? We put our property in the market in November and we had it through the whole winter time and it didn't sell till January, February of the following year, right? So that's another quick little tip about timing and finding rental properties. But ultimately, there's a really great saying out there. It says, don't wait to buy real estate, buy real estate, and wait. That's what I have for you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Please share this episode with others that you know. We need to share this education so we can share the wealth. Thanks again. Bye for now. Thanks so much for joining me on the Quiet Wealth Podcast. If you want more, head on over to CamillaJeffs.com/podcast. to get the show notes and dive into other episodes. While you're there, be sure to grab the free guide to building wealth. And if you know a friend who is struggling with money, please send this episode to them. Let's share the wealth in as many ways as we can. Until next time, much success.